And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of The Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. I hope you all had a wonderful weekend. Hope you enjoyed yourselves. The weather has been pretty nice, actually, after the temperatures kind of dropped pretty dramatically right after the very, very hot summer we were having. And I thought, wow, well, where's the nice sort of mild fall weather going to come in? So we're getting a little bit of that right now. Hope you are, too. But whether you are or not, and no matter what you might be facing, whether it's personal or it's family or it's financial, or remember, the path of the righteous is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. God has a plan for you, and it is to take you up, not down. So whatever it is that has entered your life, it may be sickness and disease of some kind affecting you or a loved one, remember that God loves you, has a plan for you, and his plan is to do you good and not harm. You know, it was a tremendous revelation for me as a Christian when I first came to understand, you know, that the bad things that happen to us, God's not doing bad things to us. He doesn't want to do bad things to us. They say, well, bad things happen. It must be the will of God. No. Bad things happen because we live in a pretty bad world. Yeah, we live in a pretty bad world. And of course, God does use bad things. It doesn't mean he's the author of them, but of course he uses bad things to try to bring good out of them, because otherwise we would be hopelessly mired in the mess. But all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So even something bad, and we know that we as Christians even can go through some pretty horrific things, God reaches in and brings grace and mercy out of it and turns the mess. Sometimes God turns the mess into ministry, doesn't he? So I just want you to be encouraged no matter what's going on. And by the way, that includes what is going on in our country right now. Folks, the president has nominated a wonderful Supreme Court nominee, Judge Amy Coney Barrett, and I would just encourage you to pray for her and pray for this nomination to go through quickly. And by the way, I would also urge you, please, please let your senator know that you want Judge Amy Coney Barrett confirmed. And you can do that, by the way, we've made it very simple for you. You can do that by going to afa.net, and you'll see instructions there on how you can take action to help get her confirmed. You know, we really need her confirmed to the U.S. Supreme Court. She is pro-life. She is pro-family, obviously. She is a woman who has demonstrated a very strong, admirable judicial temperament, not like this bozo who is trying to lock General Flynn up, even though the Justice Department has now dismissed the charges, and you got this judge who's taken it upon himself to try to use his judicial power to prosecute Flynn anyway. Well, he's not a prosecutor. Judge Amy Coney Barrett is not of that perverse ilk. She understands. I don't remember who it was who said that, you know, judges are not flitting about looking for problems to solve. Judges handle cases and controversies that come to them. They are a passive institution. The judiciary is a passive institution in the sense that it does not go out looking for problems. Legislators do. Politicians do. People who work in the executive branch of the government do. But judges don't. Judges wait for problems to land on their desk, to land in their courtrooms, and then they solve those cases and controversies rather than seeing themselves as cultural transformational figures who, or as I like to call them, philosopher kings who will tell the rest of we little people exactly what needs to happen, whether you like it or not. We're going to do this for you, and it's not going to pass any democratic process. It's not going to go to the people for their votes, their opinions. No, no, no. We know best, and we will impose this upon the rest of you for your good, of course. There's a word for that, a phrase for that. It's called judicial tyranny. She certainly is not of that ilk. She is an originalist. She is a textualist. She actually believes in using the Constitution and interpreting the Constitution based upon what the actual founders intended, what they, and here's a novel idea, and what they actually said. What they actually said. Isn't that a novel idea? Very different than these judges who decide they don't care what they say. They know what they think. And that's all that really matters. All that really matters is what they think. So it would be wonderful for our country. And who knows for how many generations to come, because she's a young woman. And she would have many, many years to serve on the bench if she chooses to. And that kind of spirit, by the way, folks, to me, this is the kind of pièce de la résistance. This is the icing on the cake. This is that she's an actual disciple of, if I can use that term, or you might say protege of, or has been mentored by Judge Antonin Scalia. The recommendation doesn't get any better than that. It really doesn't. It doesn't get any better than that. Because I just loved his judicial philosophy, the clarity of his mind, the power of his arguments. And he seemed, you know, if we had several Judge Antonin Scalias on the court, we would not have homosexual marriage today. Because, of course, he made clear that it was not within the authority of the court to impose that on the country. He made that clear in his dissent. But of course, you had a bunch of people who think that they somehow are, you know, divinely appointed to tell the rest of us what needs to happen in our country outside of the democratic process, outside of the process of the people debating and discussing and voting and making the cultural changes that we think are appropriate. No, 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 we're much too dumb for that. They'll do that for us. And Antonin Scalia was a towering intellect telling them that you don't have any right to do this. So I say, folks, there are two kinds of rights that we operate in our country, unfortunately. One is fundamental rights secured by the Constitution, and the second is made-up rights given by the Supreme Court. Just made-up rights. They just, you know, abortion, made up. Same-sex marriage, just made up. Just make up stuff. And because it's what they want. And so they just impose that on the rest of us. And having a court made up of a majority of people, and I wouldn't trust John Roberts as far as I could throw him. He was nominated by a conservative, presumably a Republican, certainly, but he has proved to be one leaky vessel. I am confident that Judge Amy Coney Barrett would be a very different kind of judge. So please go to afa.net and help us join in telling your senators that you want to see her confirmed. And that, by the way, doesn't matter whether your senators are Republicans or Democrats or independents, whatever they might be, they need to hear from you. Okay? They need to hear from you. They need to know what the people think. So God bless you. We're going to talk a little bit more about her nomination, because there's some things, of course, some ugly things that are being said already, which is exactly what we expect. And we're going to talk about that and some other things as well. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. Our national election is just 5 weeks away, and yet many news stories illustrate that there are problems on the horizon. Much of the rhetoric focuses on the possibility of election fraud. A greater problem may simply be election mismanagement. The state of New Jersey has provided many illustrations. The election in the state's third largest city, Paterson, was such a mess that they will redo the election on November 3rd. They had to take a mulligan in the election because a quarter of the ballots had to be rejected. As troubling as those actions were, the reaction to this debacle was worse. A New Jersey judge acknowledged that many ballots in the election were rejected, but then tried to put a positive spin by noting that the overall ballot rejection rate in other elections was only 9.6%. I am troubled he used the word only to describe ballots tossed out. New Jersey was in the news again when officials in Sussex County announced that they had discovered 1,666 ballots in a bin that was mislabeled. Don't worry, said the local board of elections. These 1,666 missing ballots did not change the outcome of any primary election. My question is, what if it did? How do you lose more than 1,000 ballots, and what happens if something like this happens in November? The casual, cavalier reactions from these elected officials should alarm us. Imagine if votes were valued the way we value money. Imagine if your bank told you that their ATM machine only made a mistake 9.6% of the time. Imagine if your bank misplaced $1,666 of your money. Voting in elections are important. I'm deeply concerned that some of these election officials don't take it very seriously. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Loneliness, go to viewpoints.info/loneliness. That's viewpoints.info/loneliness.
Well, these are certainly tough, tough times, aren't they? Hi, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years at only $5 a Bible. You know, I'm grateful that God has given Bible League a platform for more than 8 decades to address the other pandemic, and that's the shortage of Bibles all over the world in places like Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and Latin America. In fact, at Bible League, we determine that as few as 1 Christian in 10 has a Bible. What's that mean? That during this pandemic, many evangelical Christians elsewhere in the world cannot open their Bible and be reminded of God's promises, like 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you. But you know, during this time of sheltering in place, we can shelter in grace. Learn how you can be a blessing to believers around the world praying for a Bible by visiting sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org, or by calling Bible League at 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD.
Brian Fisher here. If the Electoral College doesn't produce a clear result, how was the president chosen? The answer will surprise you. Another example of clear voter fraud in Minnesota on behalf of Muslim Ilhan Omar. How many NYPD cops have been injured since the BLM riots began? I'll tell you. And Colorado Secretary of State urges dead people to vote. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
With this appointment of Amy Coney Barrett pending now, soon to be voted on by the United States Senate, I don't know exactly when that will happen, but I'm confident it will happen before the election and certainly before the inaugural. So sometime in the next several months, I believe that she will be confirmed before the United States Supreme Court, all things being equal. I think the Democrat Party will do everything in their power to stop it, but I just don't think they have any ability to stop it. I think she's got the votes already. Now, having said that, one of the reasons why she really needs to be confirmed is we need to make a loud, clear statement to these anti-Christian Democrats that religious bigotry is not tolerated in our country. Now, you know, I have really gotten tired of being called an Islamophobe because I have said repeatedly, we don't want Sharia law in our country. We don't want enclaves where Sharia law is operating. We don't want Sharia law entering into our court system. We don't want Sharia law in our legislative process. We don't want Sharia law. We are a constitutional republic, not an Islamic nation, and therefore Sharia law has no part in the legal system of our country. Oh, you're an Islamophobe. You're a religious bigot. No, no. I'm an American. I'm a patriot. I'm a constitutional conservative. I love my country. We have been the most successful nation in the history of mankind, and we don't need to pollute it with any kind of religious system superimposed upon our Constitution. That's why I've said many times, we don't have an official government-sanctioned religion in our country, and I don't want that. I don't want the government to declare, okay, Christianity will be our official religion. I don't want that, because I think that's dangerous. Which version of Christianity? Catholic or Protestant? And if it's Protestant, well, which version of Protestantism? No, we don't need that. We are a Christian nation culturally. And that is because the people have chosen to identify themselves with Jesus Christ and with Christianity. That is still overwhelmingly true, whether most people have a biblical worldview or not. It is still overwhelmingly true. Well, Amy Coney Barrett is a Christian. She happens to be a Catholic Christian, but she's apparently very devout. In fact, she has been part and participated in the charismatic move within the Catholic Church. And I'm sure some of you have heard about that. If you haven't, the charismatic move within the Catholic Church has been a group of Catholics who have come closer, felt that they needed to come closer to the Word of God, to Scripture. You know, in other words, not simply the dictates of the magisterium, the governing body of the church, the bishops, but the Bible itself. And therefore, they have they've come to believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and speaking in tongues and all of that. Well, folks, that is within mainstream Christianity. That is within the Pentecostal movement. That is within the charismatic movement. These just happen to be Catholics who have embraced it. There's nothing crazy about it. There's nothing insane about it. But the Democrats are already attacking her faith as somehow bizarre or crazy or out of the mainstream. And this kind of bigotry has become part and parcel. In fact, you know what? It's actually become central to the Democrat Party. And I once again want to say to all of my Christian friends who are listening right now, who are members of the Democrat Party, I don't know how you do that. I just don't. Because the Democrat Party has in effect declared itself hostile to Christ, hostile to him. Now, I'm not saying that every Democrat feels that way, so please don't misunderstand. I didn't say that. I believe there are a lot of Democrats who misguidedly think they're going to somehow reform the party or that their presence is needed in the party. And I don't criticize or judge them for their personal judgment in that regard. I think they're wrong. Okay, so you may say, well, that's criticism. Well, but it's not. In other words, I don't divide from them over it. I don't dislike them for it. I have friends who take that view. I think they're wrong. I just don't know how. See, to me, being part of a political party is entering into covenant with that party. And the covenant is the platform. How can you covenant with something that is supports the unfettered killing of unborn babies? How can you covenant with something that supports redefining gender and that supports same-sex marriages and frankly, in my view, that really supports hatred for Israel? The Democrat Party has become the anti-Israel party. It's really become the anti-Semitic party. Because, of course, they think that Israel is an apartheid nation that's oppressing the Palestinians. And the fact that the Palestinians for generations now have said that Israel needs to be driven into the sea, that the nation of Israel needs to be destroyed, and somehow that's overlooked. Now, we need more Christians in public life, not less. We need more Christians on the bench who actually believe the Constitution as written. We need more of those people, not fewer. And the only thing, this woman is accomplished, summa cum laude graduate, law school grad, top of her class. I mean, this woman has got sterling credentials. Clerked for, I think, two Supreme Court justices, and one of them, obviously, was Justice Antonin Scalia. This woman is qualified. And by the way, may I add this footnote? What happened to the Democrat Party who so loves women? We have to promote women. We need women. We want women. Women need to be in the forefront. Well, it's the same attitude that they have toward Black Americans. As long as you are towing their line and you are approved by them, then they are interested in you and advancing you. But the moment you in any way violate the orthodoxy that they dictate to you, you are no better than a rag to be thrown into the dung heap. They will vilify you, slander your name, accuse you. And by the way, folks, this is the one that gets me. Because the religious bigotry stuff, I've known that for a long time, even before it started to sort of emerge publicly with the comments by Dianne Feinstein and Bernie Sanders and others who have revealed that underlying hostility to Christianity, that underlying hostility to faith and to the Bible. But here's the other one. They're calling her a racist. They're saying that the adoption of two Black children, these happen to be Black children from Haiti, they're saying the adoption of two Black children proves she's a racist. You haven't heard that one. Oh, that's being whispered. That's being whispered. You know what they're saying? It harkens back to the colonial attitude, adopt the savages to civilize them. That's the nasty, racist, condescending garbage that comes out of that party. I just don't understand how Christians can be a part of it. I really don't. And for all you Americans of African descent whose families and go back generations, and of course they're Americans of European descent in the same, exactly the same boat. It's just that it's predominant in the Black community. It is time to come out. It really is. It is time to come out of Egypt and to come into the Promised Land. And I'm not saying that the Promised Land is a Republican Party either. No, I'm not saying that. The Promised Land is where you can think for yourself and where you can look at facts and information and make judgments based on what is best for you and best for your family, not a place where you're told, you don't vote for me, you ain't Black. I mean, what an insulting, disgusting thing to say to people. See, that's the real racist. The person who can say something like that, that's the real racist. I mean, when somebody tells you that your children have to stay in failing schools because if your children might get out, but other children might not, so we just have to keep you trapped there because they want you in an oppressed state. They want you in a victimized state. They want you where you are dependent upon them and dependent upon their largesse and their government handouts and their condescension and their demagoguery at election time. Oh, we know it's terrible. It's terrible, the violence, oh, the drug dealing, the gangs. But, you know, it's all the fault of racism, and we're the champions against racism. Vote for us, and we'll keep you right where you are so we can repeat the cycle all over again. I mean, it's time to come out of that. It's just time to say, no, I've had it. I've had it. And to just start thinking for yourself and realizing God has something better for you, for your children, than this garbage that's being offered under the guise of saving you from the mean, vicious Republican racists. So, yeah, they love women, all right. They love Blacks, all right. They love Hispanics as long as they control them. Back in a moment.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
It's a fascinating world we live in. A humorous little incident happened down in Florida some time ago that brings this to mind. A fellow who had not kept up with the modern world very much wanted to do a little traveling. He wanted to go from Chattahoochee, which is on the edge of the Eastern time zone, to Mariano, which is on the edge of the Central time zone. Well, the fellow came down to the bus station at Chattahoochee to buy a ticket to Mariano. He walked up to the ticket window and asked, "What time is the next bus to Mariano?" And the reply came back, 12 o'clock. "And what time do it get to Mariano?" asked the fellow. The agent replied, 12 o'clock. Well, the fellow stepped back and thought for a moment. Then he stepped back up to the window. "Boss," he said, "would you mind going through that one more time? I'm a-thinking I missed you somewhere. What time do that bus leave for Chattahoochee?" 12 o'clock, said the agent. "And what time do it get to Mariano?" The agent could hardly keep from grinning. 12 o'clock. The fellow stepped back, scratched his head a little, looked at the agent. After a moment of silence, the agent spoke. "Well, do you want to get a ticket?" The fellow shook his head from side to side. "No, sir. But if you don't mind, I sure thinks I'd like to stick around for a while. I want to see that thing when it take off." Yes, for that fella and for us, it's a fascinating world. Man has doubled his knowledge in the last 10 years, will double it again in the next 7. We think nothing of men walking in space or on the moon or a pitcher traveling through the air. Science tells us that anything that is theoretically possible can be achieved. It's a fascinating world. But then why shouldn't it be? Do we think this old world was not made for greatness? Of course it was. Man was not made to be a number. Man was made for greatness. We read that man was created in his own image. You see, we're made by a great creator and in the image of that creator. That means that if he's great, as he is, then we too are made for greatness. The trouble begins when we forget this. Although you may be only a number to our government or a customer to the phone company, or a name on the class roll, that does not diminish your importance. Despite the fact that there are millions of quarters in circulation, it does not make any quarter less valuable at face value. We make a terrible mistake when we sell ourselves short. Every one of us, in our own way, was made for greatness. Never, ever forget that. Yes, it's a fascinating world. It's fascinating because it's a great world, and it's a great world because it had and has a great creator. You know, when you look at the thing in its fullness, you get the idea he planned it that way. In fact, he planned it that way because he loves us.
This has been My Turn with Don Weilman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening. The Awakening. Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I've got two other issues I want to raise with you all, and then I want to come to your calls. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Now, what I'm about to tell you is probably going to make your blood boil. If you're a Christian, this ought to be deeply offensive to you, regardless of the color of your skin. And it ought to be an alarm bell that goes off to tell you not to send your children to these colleges and universities that are trying to indoctrinate them into being Marxists and socialists and racists and anti-American haters. There is a director for Boston University's Center for Anti-Racist Research. Yeah, that's what it's called. Boston University Center for Anti-Racist Research, and the director is Ibram X. Kendi. Now, I don't know whether he's an American by birth or whether he adopted that name or whether he's from somewhere else. But at any rate, originally from somewhere else. But at any rate, here's what he said about Amy Coney Barrett's Haitian son and daughter. Quote, "Some white colonizers adopt black children to to civilize these, quote, savage children in the superior ways of white people while using them as props in their lifelong pictures of denial, while cutting the biological parents of these children out of the picture of humanity. And whether this is Barrett or not is not the point. Oh, yeah, that is exactly the point. It is a belief too many white people have: if they adopt or have a child of color, they can't be racist. You know, folks, I'm going to be very honest with you. I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. And I am not violent. You know what I mean? In other words, I don't want to hurt anybody. But I tell you what, that, you know, that kind of talk is enough to make you want to fight. It really, because, you know, you've got decent people who adopt children out of a circumstance in which they might not otherwise have a life. They might not otherwise live. And you give them a decent life, and you love them, and you parent them, and you take care of them, and you got some idiot teaching kids in a major university that all of that is simply about people who are trying to prove to the world that they're not racist. When in fact, what they're doing proves that they are, because after all, they only adopt the black child because they want to civilize the black savage. I mean, oh my goodness gracious, Lord, help us here. And how many people have sent their children to Boston University? You know what? Boston University was once run by John Silber, and John Silber was a strong, principled conservative. But I'll tell you what, Boston University has gone completely off the deep end, just like most of these colleges and universities have. They're not worth a plug nickel. And people are spending $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year to send their children to go there and get brainwashed with this kind of garbage. I mean, he ought to be fired. And if I posted something like that, if I did, well, of course, I wouldn't post anything like that. But in fact, I've been banned from Twitter, and I posted something that compared to that. You read it and go, and they banned you for this? And he could say, can speak this kind of, spew this venom everywhere, and be hailed as a forward thinker. Oh, Lord. I just have, you know, I people like that. I just wish they'd just leave the country. I'm serious about it. I would just wish they'd leave. Just leave the country. Just go somewhere else. Move to an African country. I'm serious, folks. I guess because I'm an American of African descent, I can say that without anybody calling me a racist. But I'm serious. Just move to an African country. I mean, if you think that that's how life is defined, leave this country where you've got people from different backgrounds and different continents and nations of the world. Just leave. Instead of staying and trying to poison the next generation with garbage like that. Ugh. One other thing, and this is going to be a little bit of a blockbuster, and I want to try to get this out quickly. You know, I think it's time for Christopher Wray to resign from the FBI. I am formally calling for the resignation of Christopher Wray. And you know why? Because I think that Christopher Wray has been a zero. Because all this stuff that's been going down, all this information that we found, it's been like pulling teeth to try to get any information from the FBI. What is he doing? What is he doing? And you know, the same thing is true in the prosecution of General Flynn. He's done absolutely nothing to facilitate having the truth come out. It's coming out now. Thank God it's coming out. But not, he's, as far as I'm concerned, all he's done is foot drag. And I'll add this. Some of you know this. I was threatened 6 months ago. And I reported the threat to the FBI 6 months ago. 6 months ago. I have not, and they took the case. They said, yeah, this is serious and we're going to take it. So don't worry about me, folks. I'm fine. Praise God. I've had to I've got have to hire security and all that to, until this whole issue gets resolved. And they appointed a state trooper as a liaison to keep in touch with me and to keep me informed. He and I have both been flabbergasted. We have not heard a single word in 6 months. Not a word. Not him, not me, not my own private security who looked into it, nobody. And yet they sent 15 FBI agents to NASCAR for a hoax because somebody over hyper racially sensitive thought a rope hanging on a hook was somehow a noose when it was used to pull down the garage door. And those ropes were in all of the garages. 15 agents. I don't blame these FBI agents. I think there's something rotten at the top. And I think right now it's Christopher Wray. If President Trump gets reelected, I hope that he gets rid of him and really find somebody who believes in law enforcement and believes in doing the job right and making the FBI a venerable institution again, which is at one time it used to be. And J. Edgar Hoover had his issues, but you know what I mean. It had a better reputation, frankly. Its reputation has been sullied by all this scandal surrounding it and this coup within it in an attempt to undo the results of the election and overthrow a duly elected president, which is about as despicable as it gets. Okay, well, that having been said, let me try to get at least one call in here before the break. Let's go to Charlotte in Virginia. Charlotte, welcome.
Hi. So I just had a quick, I guess, comment or question. For all of these folks, when they go up to the Senate to get vetted, I thought it was against the Constitution to use a religious test. Why are they not censored or reprimanded or whatever you would call it when they do that by Mitch McConnell or whoever the leader is for doing that? I'm talking about the senators now who ask these questions that are basically using a religious test instead of just questioning them on the merits of whether they are qualified or not.
Charlotte, you've asked a question that many of us have asked, which is, why do Republicans put up with so much? Why don't they speak up more forcefully when it is clear that the Democrats are behaving unconstitutionally and that they're doing things that should not be acceptable under any circumstances, and yet often what you get is silence? We're going to keep asking that question. I think we've just got to get people in the Senate and in Congress who are courageous enough to call them out when they do it. Somebody needs to say, you all are religious bigots. For some reason, you've decided that you have it in for Christianity. You have it in for people who are actual believers and whose faith informs their understanding of life. You hate that. We just might as well say it this way. These people hate God. They really do. They hate God. We all know spiritually that that's what's going on here. And they can't hurt God. So they try to hurt the people who in any way are associated with or represent him. Yeah. Why doesn't the Senate as an institution clamp down on that and say, look, you will not attack people in this venerable institution based on their religion? It would be a breath of fresh air. The president, of course, is calling it out. Back in a moment.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
AFA is pleased with President Trump's nomination of Amy Coney Barrett as our next Supreme Court Justice. Judge Barrett opposes judicial activism, and she's a well-respected woman of faith. Liberal opposition to this nominee by anti-religious bigots will be intense. Now's the time to contact your senators and urge them to stand strong against the liberal tsunami of hate aimed at Judge Barrett. Email or call and urge your senators to confirm Amy Coney Barrett. Learn more at afa.net.
We are not allowed to have a U-Haul that comes to heaven with us.
Anna Marie Travers has an AFA Foundation charitable gift annuity.
The Lord has given us things that we can acquire, but you know, everything will stay here, and I'm so thankful for the American Family Annuity Fund, where we can give some to something that we so highly value.
Through the AFA Foundation, a charitable gift annuity provides a monthly income as well as a legacy of support for the American Family Association.
I cannot recommend a better person than they have at AFA to help you with getting your annuity fund. It was so easy.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We always say it's a relationship, not a religion, Christianity. But do we always talk about it that way?
Mark Matlock on Focus on the Family Minute.
I was talking about that one individual I was engaging who was debating me about his faith and trying to convince me that God didn't exist. Well, I chose to not engage him from an apologetic standpoint. What I wanted to start with is, have you experienced Jesus? Hmm. Have you met Jesus? Tell me about that, because here's a young man who's grown up in the church. He's getting ready to graduate from high school, and he basically has decided that all of this is a bunch of malarkey. And so that's one of the things we have to think about when we're doing this. It's not about trying to convince somebody, but it's really about introducing them to Jesus himself and helping them experience Jesus in their life. And that way, when they go into their life, Jesus is going with them because that relationship is intact.
Hear more from Mark at familyminute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. The number is 888-589-8840. You know, the other point I would make about this whole adoption issue is, here again, I thought the liberals were concerned about minorities, right? But here again, apparently not. They've got this very narrow viewpoint, this racist viewpoint of how that concern gets expressed. And if it's not according to their formula, then you are written off. So spewing a bunch of racial demagoguery, oh, that's great. Yes, indeed. Oh, yes, you're down with the struggle. But adopting two children who happen to be black, oh, that's closet racism. You know, you can't, I think I was listening to let me give credit where credit is due. I was listening to Rush this weekend, and he was saying, you know, there's some people in life you can't compromise with them. You just have to defeat them. And that's where we are with these folks. There's no compromising with people who think this way. You have to defeat them. 888-589-8840 is the number. Let's come back to the phones and your calls. Let's go to Jim in Mississippi. Jim, welcome.
Whoa. Yeah, but they're hurting.
Oh, man. Them
speaking. Hey, Jim, I'm hearing something in the background there.
I'm here.
Okay, go right ahead.
Hello?
Yes,
yeah,
I can hear you.
I want to say, okay, if we're going to talk about the judge and her adoption of the African kids, well, how about Jolie and them other stars that have adopted African kids? And if we're going to talk about Catholic religion, what are we going to do about Mr. Biden with his faithfulness and Ms. Pelosi with her Catholic faith? What are we going to do about them?
Mm-hmm. Well, look, their hypocrisy knows no bounds, Jim. So don't look for consistency in this, you know, because, you know, it's good for thee, but not for me. That's their attitude, you know. So they can criticize anybody else because, for one thing, let's face it, these people don't believe much of anything. They whatever their Catholicism is, it is certainly not in keeping with the teaching of the church, and some bishops have called them out on it. I mean, they are radically pro-abortion. They are completely against what the Bible teaches about sexual morality. So in many ways, and those aren't the only ways, but they are completely out of step with the Bible and with Christianity and with Christian morality. So you can't even expect that out of them. But you're right. I mean, they're not criticizing these leftist celebrities who adopt black children, because I guess that's okay, you see, because they're leftists. Yeah, you're right, Jim, to point out the utter hypocrisy of it. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Andre in Louisiana. Andre, welcome.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great. Andre, how are you?
I'm doing great. I had a comment about, I wrote a paper for our kids in school in Elkton, Louisiana, about racism. If you believe the Bible and what God says, he created one race. That was a human race. We all are one people. And I wish people would get that through their hair. It doesn't matter what the skin color is. It matters that we all belong to God. And that's my comment.
Amen. Well, Andre, you are absolutely right. I put it this way. There's really only two kinds of people in the earth, frankly. Those who believe, who belong to God and believe in him, and those who don't. I mean, when you boil it down, that's really, and to tell you the truth, that's what this division in our country seems to be coming down to as well. I think the only problem is that the left has so manipulated minority people, quote unquote, their language, not mine, people of color, because all people have color. But they've so manipulated these constituents that they have that they've even got some Christians believing that somehow they should be associated with 70% of atheists and the homosexuals and the pornographers and the radical feminists who don't believe in marriage and don't believe in family as God ordained it, and all of the transgender nonsense, and they should ally themselves with all those people because absolutely those people are going to be champions against racism. You can't get good fruit out of a poison tree, and I don't know when people are going to learn this and come out from under the influence of what I consider to be a party that has gone full blown into degeneracy and depravity and anti-Christian, anti-American thought. The number is 888-589-8840. We've got a little time and we've got a couple of lines open. So we're going to continue to take your calls. Let's go to Thomas, also in Virginia. Oh, good. Getting calls from, plenty of calls from Virginia today. Thomas, welcome.
I am he. Yeah, I always want to say
Okay, Thomas,
that.
Good.
That's your line. I had one quick question for you. I know we don't have much time left. In your mind, in your professional opinion, do you think that this new Supreme Court justice, if she makes it, do you see in our lifetime, I'm 63 years old, do you see in our lifetime the possibility that they may reverse Roe versus Wade?
You know, I do. I do, Thomas. You know, one of the criticisms that they have of her is that she is the first Supreme Court justice I've heard in a long time. I don't know what Scalia would have said about this, but she's the first one I've heard. In fact, to my memory, say, precedent is not everything. Precedent is not everything. And she's absolutely right, because precedents can be wrong. And when they're wrong, they need to be overturned. And Roe v. Wade is one of the worst precedents that the Supreme Court has ever set. So, Thomas, I think if President Trump has an opportunity to appoint one or two more Supreme Court justices who are pro-life, I think they could all look at Roe v. Wade and say it was bad law when it was decided and it's time to do away with it. So, yes, I mean, I think it could happen in your lifetime. I'm a little older than you are, but I think it could happen in mine. So let's be praying that it does, Thomas. But thank you for the call. And boy, that's a really hopeful thought, but I think it's one well within the realm of reality. All right, let's go to David in Georgia. David, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you, Bishop Jackson. I think when the Lord saved you, he gifted you with discernment, and you're using that gift. I appreciate it. And
Thank you, sir. Also,
I'd like to say this low-life professor there at Boston, I don't think he even has the culture of a human being to do what he's doing and saying. Also, I want to say, you know, it seems maybe possible that we could get in some civil war here, you know, with the way things are headed in America. But I think, you know, if we did, it wouldn't be the North against the South. We need to recognize that. It would not be the blacks against the white. We need to recognize that. But it would be the evil against the good people. And yeah, we need to pray and unite.
David, thank you for the call. Yeah, look, David, normally I would dismiss that, but polls show that 2/3 of the American people believe that we could be in a civil war within 5 years. There's been threats of an insurrection if President Trump gets reelected. So that stuff is being talked about openly now. Now, of course, you don't want that. I don't want that. And we're praying that nothing like that will ever happen. But when you got 570 riots in 220 locations around the country, we would be fools not to take notice and to realize that we are at a very precarious moment in our country. So let us pray that we'll step back from the brink and that Judeo-Christian principle and values will win out, and that God will send us an awakening and people will come to their senses and stop all the nonsense that we are now witnessing happening in our country. So, but thank you for the call, David. We appreciate it. Let's go to Don, also in Virginia. Don, welcome.
Thank you. Very quickly. The police, I assume, had a reason to go to the apartment in Louisville, Kentucky, in search of what has been described as a boyfriend. The person they were looking for is not at this apartment, so he's already been kicked to the curb. And there's another supposedly boyfriend who's spending the night there, and he has a pistol. If a guy that you're not married to comes to your apartment and has a pistol, don't you question his character to start with? If he's in this apartment spending the night with his girlfriend of a long time, or just a one night stand, I don't know. But if he's spending the night in this apartment and somebody breaks in, if his name's not on the lease, what right does he have to defend the homestead? It's not his. Well, his name's not on the lease.
Well, listen, Don, I'm almost out of time. Thanks for the call. Yeah, that is such a complicated situation. And really what that's getting into is sort of the moral context of the whole thing. And, of course, I know you're not implying, we wouldn't want to imply that people are cohabitating or they're having sex outside marriage or they're living, whatever they're doing, that they deserve to be killed as a result, or that even that he would not have a right to defend himself if he really thought that somebody was breaking into a place where he was. I mean, look, those of you who carry concealed, and here again, he apparently had a legal firearm. Those of you who carry concealed, I'm sure you visit people from time to time and you've got your weapon with you. Something breaks off in that person's house, then you're going to probably respond. You wouldn't say, oh, well, this is not my house, it's not my business. I mean, you carry concealed because you want to be in a position to defend your life and the lives of innocent people around you. So yeah, it's complicated, Don. And I think, you know, it's just one of those situations where it's just, you can't, the woman shouldn't have died. The cops shouldn't be charged with murder. And we just chalk some things up to just tragedy. Folks, that's going to do it for today. God bless each and every one of you. Don't forget to go to our website and follow up with your senator on Amy Coney Barrett. And in the meantime, remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.